This is the start of the October 15, 1986 interview with boatbuilder Bud Seymour of Apalachicola, Florida. The interview is conducted by David Taylor in conjunction with the Maritime Heritage Survey Project.
Well, I wanted to start by asking you when you were born.
January the 22nd, 1923.
And where was that?
In Millville, Florida.
Where about, what county is that?
Millville, over near Panama City.
Oh, yeah. Yes. What did your dad do for a living?
He fished. He worked at shipyards, and he was a fisherman.
Mm-hmm. Did you get into fishing when you were growing up?
I sure did. In fact, I fished practically all my life.
What kind of fishing did you do?
Mullet, trout, and snapper fishing. I did quite a bit of that. And oystering, shrimping. That good.
How old were you when you started in fishing?
Well, my dad used to carry me when I was something like 7 years old. Mm. I could cut bait and one thing and another.
Mm. How many children were there in your family?
Five.
And how did you fit in the arrangement?
I was next to the last. Mm-hmm.
Did you always think that you were going to be a fisherman when you were growing up?
Yeah, I knew that because I grew up on the water and I liked it from the start.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you happen to move down here to Apalachicola?
Well, really, I don't know. I guess that was my dad's decision because I was only three when we did.
And have you lived here ever since that time?
I've lived here and here and near here ever since, yeah.
You ever go away to work elsewhere?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi. And as far as Sarasota to the south. But I go away once in a while to work, yeah.
What kind of work were you doing when you lived in those places?
Well, in Texas, Louisiana, I run an oil boat, a 150-foot cargo boat. Mm. In Mississippi, I usually shrimped, and I worked at a shipyard in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I worked at a net shop in Mississippi, but usually shrimping.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been since you were fishing regularly?
Between 9 and 10 months, I had two boats and I sold the two boats and just got out of it for a while.
Mm-hmm. You were fishing mostly in the Gulf?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shrimp.
Yeah. Well, tell me how you started in building boats.
Well, I was 13. And I always liked boats, and at that time, everything was real cheap. And I worked and saved enough money to build me a little 12-foot boat. And the whole material, the cost of the material, the paint, everything, was $2.85 at that time, which is now would probably be $500. Mm-hmm. That's where I started.
Well, how did you learn about how to do it?
Well, I don't know. I just guess I was gifted with it because I've never had a teacher or never worked with anybody. I just did it on my own, and as ideas came to me, I put them to work.
What did that first boat look like that you
built? It was nice, real nice. I had other boats to copy from, you know, and I was good with a saw and hammer.
Mm-hmm. What was your shape like?
It was just a flat bottom a skiff you used with oars back then because there wasn't very few motors. And I had my oars and a little sail, and at 13 I'd get out on the bay and I'd have me a ball.
That sounds nice. Well, what did the fishing boats that fishermen used at that time look like compared to now?
Most of them, the small boats were usually flat bottom, and they had a raked up stern in order for them you could to move easy through the water. Because you could use a sail on them, or you could use a pair of oars and make good time. But the boats they use these days were these big boaters and flat stern. You couldn't do anything with them.
Mm-hmm. How long would these boats have been?
Generally 16 feet. Well, that'd be a good fishing boat. A 16-foot boat would be a good fishing boat.
Were they flat-bottom boats? Like
flat-bottom, yeah.
And how wide might they be across the stern?
Generally 5 feet.
Amidships?
Well, they didn't vary very much from the stern to the bow.
Oh, yeah.
Other than the curve from the midships to the bow.
Mm-hmm. Were these plank boats?
Plank boats, yeah.
What kind of materials did they use to
cypress.
Uh-huh.
Cypress back then was real cheap too. You know, that was about the best grade of wood you could get, and it was cheap.
Mm-hmm. What kind of fastenings did they use?
Galvanized nails.
Mm-hmm. And were the timbers natural shape, or were they?
Well, you didn't timber your skiff that you used back then. They were just a plain sided boat with battens in them to keep the boards from splitting, but your cross bottom had a kilson down the middle, and your boards was nailed to the edge of the sides, the chimes, and the kilson.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to tear up.
Yeah. Heavy?
No, not all that heavy, no.
Yeah. What were the sails like that people carried?
Well, it's just a four-cornered sail. You had two corners to your mast, and then the top part of it angled up, and then it raked back longer at the bottom than the top, and you could fold it up, you know, and take it down. It wasn't a permanent sail.
Was there a boom across the bottom?
Yeah, right.
Was there any kind of a gaff or a boom across the top?
Yeah, you had a gaff on the top and a little topping lift you pulled it up with, but you had a small one on the top and then a little larger on the bottom.
Did these boats have rudders on them?
No, a few probably did, but usually you use one of your oars to steer it with.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out real good.
Was there a special place to set your oar?
No. You used either side. You used the side of the boat, and you could use either side. You know, if the wind shifted or you wanted to change directions, you change sides with the boat.
Well, who were the boat builders back then?
Oh, Lord. There's been so many of them, I couldn't remember them all, but the later ones was Smith's and Brannan's and Marshall's. That's about the only three that I can remember that built a real good boat, you know.
Did they all live in Apalachicola?
No, the Brannan's lived in Carabelle. But the Smiths and the Marshalls lived here. But some of their boats are still going.
Is that right?
In fact, something like 12 years ago, I bought a boat that was built, a yacht-type boat that was built something like 50 years ago, but it was built of juniper.
Hmm.
Complete juniper boat.
And that's still around here?
Well, no, it's tore up now, yeah. But it was still good when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy I sold it to ran into the seawall, and so that took care of the boat.
Good for that. Now, what kind of fishing would people have done with the boats of the type that you've described?
They were used for mullet fishing, cat fishing, crabbing, and trout fishing. That's the four things that they were most generally used for.
Mm-hmm. Were there larger boats built around here for?
Oh, yeah, right. What, sure was.
What did boats like that look like?
Well, there's some of them still around. They were a model boat. They had their round knuckle boat, and they had the round and the flat knuckle boat. But they were modeled and had a fairly good size engine, you know. But when I first started, a boat 38 foot long would probably have a one-cylinder engine in it, an old clay engine or a Fairbanks or something, the old type. straight ahead engine with a big flywheel, yeah.
Ones with a real slow.
Well, boats made fairly good time, but the engines were real slow. But the, say, a 6-horse engine rated a 6 horsepower back then would have something like a 600-pound flywheel.
Whoa.
And one cylinder. Mm-hmm. And once you got the flywheel going, you was gone. You get up maybe 6-7 miles an hour.
Wow. Where did they place their engines?
Yeah, about midships. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, there's no set plan as to where you put your engine. Just wherever it balances the boat out like it should. Mm-hmm. And then to give you the room you need.
Mm-hmm. Who were the... Were the same guys building the small boats, the ones that were building the big boats, too?
Yeah. A boat builder back then could build any type of boat, you know, that a person would use. If it was a skiff, he'd build a skiff. And if it was an oyster boat or one of the bigger oyster boats that they used dredges on, he could build it. Just an all-around boat builder.
Mm-hmm. Were these guys full-time builders?
Well, the Brannans and Smiths were full-time boat builders, I believe. But Marshall, they had a lot of different trades. Mm-hmm. But the Marshalls built yachts.
Oh yeah.
And they didn't cater too much to small boats, you know, skiff or what have you.
Were they power boats or sailboats they built?
No, they're power boats.
Yeah.
But something like. Oh, I imagine 70 years ago not too long before my time, they used sails, almost strictly sails, and the boats had an opening down the center. They used a center board, a drift board, and they could raise it or lower it, you know, as the depth of the water. Mm-hmm. But they'd sail to the oyster bars, and they used sails to shrimp.
Hmm.
Well, that was before my time.
Yeah. Well, when people got these single-cylinder engines and other early ones, when they were using flat boats, did they have any trouble with the shafts grounding out or anything like
that? No. I think it was better then than it is now.
Hmm.
You had a real slow-speeded engine, see?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have all that wear on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the propeller on a 6-horse engine at that time would hold a 200-horse engine down now. In fact, it might not even turn it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When people were building these skiffs in years past, did they use any kind of plans or anything to get their shapes for their boats?
No, not that I know of. They might use another boat as a copy, you know, and get the dimensions of it and the angles and build one similar.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go into shops and I look around the walls and I see pieces of wood that are templates for timbers and things. Did they ever have stuff like that?
The builders that built the bigger boats probably did, and the yacht builders, they used templates.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might build one out of their head, but then they make a pattern of every part that went in it, see, and they'd save it.
Mm-hmm.
They could build another one like it.
You ever seen anyone around here use models, half models of the hull shape?
No, not around here. Well, I take that back, I have too. But it was big boat, something like 80, 90 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they build them a half model and take their scale off of that and build a bigger boat with it.
Hmm. Who was that using them?
I don't know the boat builder. They built some big boats here in Apalachicola, but I think the builders come from Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't believe we had local help here, you know, but I think the plans came from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. Well, let's go back now. We talked about your very first boat, and how did boat building for you change after that? What kinds of boats did you build, and how old were you at the time?
Well, I built almost every type boat there is, I guess, for this locality. But skiffs, I built strictly skiffs up until 1947. And I put 6.5 years in the Navy, and in 47, when I came out of the Navy, I built a model boat, and I've been building them ever since.
Model boats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of what kinds of boats?
Yeah, they're shrimp boats, small shrimp boats.
Hmm. Do you build those to sell to other folks?
Well, the first one I built, the first model boat, I built it for myself, but I later sold it, and since then I've built, Lord, I don't know how many.
Hmm. Do you, people order them from you, or you just make them and sell them when you get ready?
No. Sometimes I'll build a boat and it'll be for sale. It's usually sold before I ever get started good on it, but most of the work I do, a person will order a boat,
mm-hmm.
and I'll build it for them.
Hmm. Do fishermen around here ask you to make models of their own boats?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Not all that often.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these small boats, a person might find a real pretty a pretty boat that he likes,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take the measurements off of it and everything and build one so near like it. It can't hardly tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. You working on any right now?
None other than that, but I've got an order for 10 smaller ones when I get through with this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So after the war now, you worked for 6 years making the skiffs, were you saying?
Well, I built boats and oystered and shrimped during that time,
mm-hmm.
but I built a lot of boats.
Did you... Did you build at any particular time of year when you were building, when you were fishing?
No. When I get tired of fishing, I'd build boats because
mm-hmm.
there's always a demand for them.
Yeah. Well, what is it that makes an oyster skiff an oyster skiff? If you were going to describe it to someone who'd never seen one before, how would you describe what an oyster skiff is?
Well, it'd be shallow drafted and usually wide, well built, so it'll take a good beating.
Mm-hmm.
And with the power they've got these days, it'd have to be built real strong and fast. But an oyster boat these days are usually an average of 25 feet and something like 8 foot wide.
And how wide would they be across the stern?
Well, usually when you carry a load like that, you get everything you could get, so they'd be about as wide at the stern as the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Or the midships.
What kind of materials do you use to make oyster skiffs?
Well, they use plywood anymore. They use pine and cypress frames for the boat and use plywood for the hull,
mm-hmm.
the sheeting.
How thick is the plywood usually?
Varies. Anywhere from 3/8 to 1/2 inch. Usually the bottom's half and the side's 3/8.
What kind of timbering would they use?
They use cypress timbers,
uh-huh.
Cypress and pine.
What sort of dimensions are the timbers?
Two by four, 2x6.
Mm-hmm. Now, do these boats have keels?
No, they have a kelson.
That runs, how would that run on the...
It's notched into the frames to where the plywood, when you fasten it to the frames, laps over the kelson. So it'll be notched in,
mm-hmm.
level with the frame.
Is there any kind of a stern post in those boats?
No stern post. Nothing but bulkheads. Because they don't have a keel, so they wouldn't have any need for the stern post, you know.
Yeah.
And they're built practically flat to get in shallow water.
Mm-hmm. Is there a one-piece stem to those, or is it more
complicated? One-piece stem, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one-piece.
Now, I see fellows when I haven't been out oystering, and I hope I can sometime in the next few weeks to see how it's done, but I see people walking along the rails there when they're tonging.
No, that's the decks.
That's the whole deck.
Decks are walk boards. Some of them use the ones that use an open boat, which you seldom see one anymore, but they use a walk board, just a plank to walk on, but the boats that's being built usually are decked.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a stronger boat, and then you've got some place to walk up and down at tong oysters.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see on some of them a big, looks like a plywood board with sometimes little rails that are set up forward sometimes?
Yeah, the cull board. That's where they put their oysters in. They cull them. They sort the oysters out from the culls, you know, and oysters go in the boat.
Hmm. What are the other parts of the boat, of an oyster boat, called? Or sections of it?
Well, nothing but your bulkheads, your decks, and then any more they've got a little house they usually carry on the back. It's portable. It'll slide up and down.
Hmm.
And it usually houses their engine or where they make their coffee, you know, and get back out of the rain. And when they're running, there'll be a lot of spray. They get in their little house and run the boat.
What do you mean, slide up and down?
Up and down the decks, you know. Your decks have got a rail inside part of the deck. The house fits just outside of the rail, and it'll slide, you know, slide up. Now, like if you're back there, you can shove your house forward. You've got all that room, so you can stand up and run your motor if you want to.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I've seen them in different positions, but I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they slide. They're portable.
Huh. Are they, when you want to stop it in a place, do they bolt them in position or anything?
No, they're left portable. Sometimes you'll have a hole drilled through the house in the rail where you can put a pin to hold it in position, but as far as bolting it to where it won't move, very few of them that I know of does that.
Hmm. Are the areas between the bulkheads, do they have particular names?
No. You got a bulkhead aft and one forward, but that's where you put your oysters. In between these bulkheads, where you can shovel against it, you know, and keep them from piling up forward and all the way back to the stern of the boat.
Mm-hmm. Who are the people building oyster skiffs around here these days?
The only two, well, there's three. There's I don't know his first name. His last name is Hatfield, and I don't know if he does it anymore, but you've got Sonny Polis. He lives here in Apalachicola, and Bobby Shiver at East Point, but those are the only three that I know of right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I try to stay away from the oyster boats. I don't.
How come?
I don't like to build a boat like that. You have to move it about, you know. You have to turn it over to put your bottom. You have to have help with that. And I'd rather be able to do by myself. Rather than have to go get help to do something, you know, I'd rather be able just to take care of it, not bother anybody.
What are oyster boats cost these days if you were going to go out and buy one today or order one?
I don't know. I haven't kept up with all that here lately, but I know something like 5 years ago they were around $1,200 to $1,500, just according to the material and the size.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure now they must be up better than 2,000.
Yeah. And then you got to buy you an engine and all that.
To buy your engine and paint it. They don't, very few of them paints their boats. They leave that up to the buyer.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you've built just about all the local types of boats. And we've talked about the oyster skiff. What are the other types of boats that are common around here?
Well, you've still got your gill net skiff. I built a few of those. And these little river boats that they use for freshwater fishing, they use it on the river and also the bay. I built quite a few of them. And small shrimp boats, 38 to 40 feet, I built several of those. And big boats, up to 78 feet, I believe. I built probably a half dozen.
Hmm. You built all those boats right here on your property?
No, I've only built three on my property. I built the others. I used to have a big shop in Appalachia, and I built the big ones down there. You didn't have so far to carry it to the water.
Oh, yeah. Whereabouts was your shop?
It would be right... You know where the post office is?
Mm-hmm.
Might be right down towards the waterfront from the post office.
Is it down next to where Grady Levin's
right
is?
Straight across, though, but it'd be straight across from Toronto's.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Right across
yeah.
the street.
Yeah.
Richard's little cabinet shop now, Corky mm-hmm. Richard's cabinet shop.
Right, right. It was that same building? Or
yeah, the same building, mm-hmm. same building. But I built the boats, all my tools were inside, but I built the boats outside in the open.
Mm-hmm. What's different about a gillnet boat from some of these other types? What makes them unique?
Well, your gillnet boat, you have a well in the bow, and you strike your net off the stern. And you stand up in the bow of it and steer your motor and look for fish, and then when you find them, all you do is throw an anchor over and your net peels off.
Mm-hmm. So everyone that's fishing with gill nets has got that engine in the well up forward?
I'd say, yeah, all of them that I know of sure does.
Mm-hmm. Is the shape of the boat different from the oyster skiffs, for example?
The shape of a gill net skiff is similar to that of an oyster boat, except the bow turns up real high, so with the well in the front, you'll be able to maneuver it. Hmm. If the bow of your boat was down level with the water, under the water, you wouldn't turn. You couldn't turn it. So where your motor sets, something like 6 feet from the bow of the boat, from 6 feet back, will be the bow will be clear. See, the bottom will be clear of the water.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of a groove in the bottom of the hull?
Some of them use a tunnel, and some don't.
How did your boats look? Did they have tunnels?
No, mine didn't have the tunnel in it. They were built for deep water in St. Joe Bay.
Oh, yeah. Then how did the propeller work? Was there a shaft that went way down below?
An outboard motor. Outboard.
You mount
it, yeah, it was below the bottom of the boat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you mount the outboard motor in the bow rather than the stern.
And these river boats, what were they like? This runabout that you've got over
there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I built some bat tows. They're blunt-ended boats, you know, with a real turn-up at the bow.
Mm-hmm.
I built quite a few of them.
What do people use those for?
The same thing as they use a little boat here for.
Is that like that green boat that someone's got further to closer to town along this road on the left-hand side?
Well, I don't know the boat you're talking about, but yeah. Your bat tows usually run around from 14 to 16 feet. See, they're just little pleasure jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And mostly used for the river, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other types of boats that people have built around here?
None other than sailboats. They used to build, I never built the sailboat other than a skiff and put a little sail on it, but there's been some regular sailboats. And years ago, they had snapper boats, and they were built, the Georges here in Apalachicola built some of the snapper boats.
Is that the Greek family?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
George and Nick, George and Nick George, Jimmy George.
Hmm.
Yeah, they built several boats. They were good boat builders.
Were there Greek influence? Did the boats look much different from other boats around here?
The boats that's built lately looks altogether different from the ones that were built years ago. But the boats they built was a round bottom boat with sawed frame. They had to double the frames. They had laminated frame, but they were all sawed frame boats,
mm-hmm.
rather than put two timbers together in the knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
They were all sawed frame, round bottom.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'd like to ask you a little more about how you put boats together today. Talk about this one here. Now, can you tell me its principal dimensions again?
It's 45 and a half feet overall and 15 feet 2 inches wide.
And how much water do you think she'll
draw? It'll draw 4 feet and 8 inches.
And how big is she across the stern?
12'6".
Mm-hmm. How did you decide on the shape for this boat?
I guess that just come out of my head. Mm-hmm. I've got a piece of plywood around here somewhere that I drew it out on before I started, but I copy off of that, and I had a big table I built my frames on.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the table.
Oh, yeah.
And I laid the frames out on it, you know, and take my timber and get it from there.
Hmm. Now, when you do you usually make a drawing like that for most of the
boats? Yeah, for a bigger boat, yeah. For a small boat, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But for a bigger boat like this, you'll make you two drawings. One from the top down, that's to get your width from on each side from your center line, and then a side view to get from your water line down to the keel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can draw that in a scale, see, and take it off of your scale and apply it to the boat.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a scale?
I use 1 inch per foot.
Uh-huh. And what are the other things that you draw into a drawing like that?
Nothing other than the shape of the boat and the hull part.
Mm-hmm.
And usually no planking at all, just the frames, the distance of the frames apart, and the rise and the fall, you know, to in order to get your wheel, propeller, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the only scale I use.
Mm-hmm. Let me just put on another tape. I see that's about ready to run out.
I'm about ready to quit anyway.
Okay.
This is the end of the first tape of the October 15th, 1986 interview with boat builder Bud Seymour of Apalachicola, Florida. The interview is continued on the second and final tape.